Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Kaya 959 on the street, on the air. Remember, the CEO of Eskom is going to be joining us in just a few minutes. If you have any questions for him, you can also call us 086-000-0959. You can send us a WhatsApp 063-688-0959 or tweet us at Kaya on air is our handle using the hashtag Kaya Biz. I should probably say Exus, right? Because there's been a change of ownership there. Where there's also been a change of ownership is possibly TikTok. US President Donald Trump signed that executive order, which, pending approval from China, a new joint venture company will emerge overseeing TikTok's US business, while the original owner, ByteDance, holds 20% or less of that stock. Let's decode what happened there. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, joins us now. Jan, thanks for your time again on Kaya Biz this evening. Let's get some context over why there was a furore over the ownership of TikTok in the United States.
Good evening. Yeah, thanks for having me. And it depends on who you ask and whether you accept the statements from the United States at face value, right? So the official version is that there is a national security risk and, a Chinese company with ties to the Chinese Communist Party has direct access to American citizens' private data, and that's a problem. There needs to be a firewall between the American operations and the Chinese operations. That's generally speaking, the official story. But when you look a bit deeper, it's really an economic story. And it's got to do with the fact that one of the things that it's got to do with is the fact that Chinese companies have unfettered access to American markets. Any Chinese company can enter the American market and compete there if they so wished, whereas for American companies, well, until now, obviously, with the TikTok deal, that all changes. But the inverse is not true. American companies have been banned from China. Facebook, Google, Google's subsidiary companies like YouTube, Twitter, none of those companies are allowed to operate in China. And in fact, it has a firewall, literally a firewall up that blocks it. And that's affectionately called the Great Firewall after the Great Wall of China.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's when I look at the economic war, this trade war that's been raging between the United States and China all these years, that's the thing that stands out to me as one of the core reasons why America is unhappy with China, and why even under whether it's the Trump or the Biden administration, because people forget that the Huawei trade bans actually were intensified under the Biden administration. Why they've taken such a strong stance against China, and to me it's all got to do with the economics and the business access, and that America is kind of flexing its muscle there and drawing a line to say, you know what, this has now gotten to the point where the unfair access is actually causing damage, and so this far no further.
All right. And so Deputy President of the United States saying that there's going to be a way that people who are able to control what the algorithm is or what content people, particularly in America, see. And then there was a push. Is there going to be more MAGA content? Make America great. We know Donald Trump said. And right. Donald Trump said, you know what? I'm a MAGA guy. I always like MAGA-related stuff. So there's the business and the politics really seemingly being married as well in the background.
Yeah, and I did kind of feel this on Twitter when Elon Musk took over there. Not MAGA content, but stuff that I did not want to see and that I didn't really engage with and that I didn't really like.
And quite divisive.
And one hopes that doesn't happen on TikTok. Because a part of the reason I like TikTok, and really its magic, is the secret sauce. It's the algorithm, right? And so this is actually a huge risk for TikTok. And one hopes that the business people who buy into this, who put down the $14 billion to actually buy ByteDance US, are not going to harm what makes TikTok so successful. And that's the algorithm. So yes, the president's spokesperson saying that they're going to retrain the algorithm for America and have complete control over it in the United States. While I understand, you know, from the national security perspective, you know, the official reason for this takeover, why they might want to do that, that also is the biggest business risk here, because if they mess up that algorithm, the whole thing that gives TikTok its advantage, the whole reason TikTok has even been able to compete against the U.S. social media giants of Instagram and Facebook and YouTube, is that its algorithm is magical. It almost does not happen at all that I scroll onto a TikTok that I do not want to see. Now, I've carefully curated my feed, so it's just South African comedians and dogs and music. But the fact is, TikTok has been able to learn very quickly what I'm going to like and what I'm not going to like. And it also curates based on where you are in the world. I recently had the privilege of being able to go overseas, and immediately upon landing, I was being served more local content there, right? So TikTok is smart that way, in that it goes, oh, you're here now, let me try some of the local content and see if you like it. If you mess with that algorithm too much, that could actually harm the TikTok's performance in the United States, and financially. And if you've put up $14 billion to buy up this company, you definitely want to turn a profit as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to a business interfering in the user experience, what people have found on Twitter is, as you said, it's more divisive, or it's different. It feels different, even the experience of not being able to see people's likes, the kind of content that you have fed, suggested content just being blasted at you. But people remain on the app, complain about the owner, but remain on the app.
Yeah, but what I have found is that certain groups have posted less. And look, honestly, it's got to do with where your niche is and on what the content is that you're interested in. So, for example, I found that the computer security guys that I followed on Twitter, they all migrated to different apps for various different reasons, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So they went to Mastodon and Blue Sky and elsewhere. So for that kind of content, I had to move with them. Whereas with other stuff in South Africa, including financial analysis, people commenting on Eskom. I'm talking about like deep industry insights, proper analysts and stuff. They're still active on Twitter in South Africa. And, no complaints from them about the platform. But for me, outside of the sort of more political stuff and the negative stuff that I had, carefully curated my Twitter feed to not have in it. There's those threads, those ridiculous and useless threads that get posted, about like, there's somebody just announced this thing. Here are 10 reasons why this is going to change your
life. LinkedIn like content. Oh my goodness. AI generated to try and go viral.
Exactly, right?
So even
before the AI generation was happening, that stuff was getting pushed quite hard because it performed well. But I did my utmost to tell Twitter, listen, I'm not interested in this stuff. I don't engage with this stuff. Don't stop showing me this stuff. And its algorithm was untrainable in that regard. Yes. And so, whereas with TikTok, I found it very responsive to my likes and dislikes. So if they mess with that too much, and instead try to, because there's always that danger where algorithms that are tuned towards the wrong thing, towards a certain type of engagement or that sort of thing, will then promote negativity and divisiveness and that sort of thing. You know, and that actually ends up, what ends up happening is I just don't post on Twitter.
Yes.
And a lot of people who might be on Twitter and following other people on Twitter are in the same boat. And so what you've done is you've chased away people who would otherwise be posting on your social media platform. Whereas with platforms like YouTube and TikTok, where I found the algorithms to just be a slightly better, that also promotes engagement, and especially from more moderate voices, where you know, you might not have to deal with somebody climbing in on a comment that you've made, reading it in the worst possible way, and then, you know, kind of driving engagement in a negative way that then chases people off the platform.
All right. Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband, thanks so much for your time on Kaya Biz this evening, just taking us through the geopolitical factors affecting ownership of TikTok and what may or may not happen. Appreciate your time this evening.
My pleasure. Have a great evening.
All right.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.